Hello, Vashon and Maury Islands. This is History Worth Hearing, a presentation of the Vashon Heritage Museum. And I am your host, Chris Austin. Today is November 5th, 2021, and it's a special day because it's the opening of our newest exhibit, Natural Wonder, an Island Shaped by Water. It is an interactive and collaborative experience created in partnership with the Vashon Nature Center. The exhibit shares the wonders of the island's natural history and explores how all life is intricately connected and shaped by its relationship with the water that surrounds us. Visitors will experience life through the wings, hooves, paws, roots, fins, tentacles, and feet of local species. It will make connections in our natural ecosystem and reflect on our own place in this great web of life. It's a great exhibit. I really hope you'll make time to see it. Now let's go on to an interview with Bruce Hallman. And as always, the interview was connected on Zoom, so I apologize for any feedback or background noise that I couldn't get rid of when I edited it. Well, let's start off the show today with, like we always do, we want to promote the museum talks, and we've got one in November, very good one, on November 11th, a very special day. And it's Vashon Veterans from the Civil War to Afghanistan. And that is a free Zoom talk. If you can go to the VashonHeritageMuseum.org and sign up for free. And this month's speaker is Bruce Hallman, who is the president of the board of the museum and a scholar in his own right. Welcome, Bruce.
Oh, hi, Chris. Good to be here. Yeah, it's pretty exciting to think about. These museum talks are scheduled for the second Tuesday of every month. And when we were looking at November, the second Tuesday of November is November 11th, which
right.
Interesting day. Wow, how could we sort of celebrate Veterans Day with a museum talk? And so I worked with Mike Mattingly, who's the commander of the VFW and also works with there's a veterans group here on the island that's called the Vashon Veterans Retreat Center, sort of an ability to help veterans who are in need. And so this presentation will basically be, I'll talk about the history of veterans and Veterans Day a little bit and on Vashon, and then Mike will talk about what's going on right now with veterans. So should be a fairly interesting talk.
Well, I'm curious. The title, Civil War to Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. So Washington State wasn't a state during the Civil War. So what's the tie-in there?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Veterans Day was a Veterans Day until 1954.
Is that right?
Before that, it was Armistice Day. So with the end of World War One. You know, the 11th day of the 11th month, the 11th hour, the signing of the armistice for World War One. So in 1918, and so in 1919, they began celebrating it, sometimes called Remembrance Day, sometimes called Armistice Day. You know, in the late 20s, Congress actually made it an official day, and it became a holiday in the 1930s, federal holiday in the 1930s. Then in 1954, as a result of a group of World War II veterans, they sort of changed the title. They changed the title officially to Veterans Day to recognize all veterans, because the original Armistice Day was all about World War I.
So absolutely, yeah.
So after World War II, it became, how do we broaden this? And then, of course, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Gulf Wars. I mean, and so now it's a recognition of all veterans. But back to your question about Civil War, actually you don't have young men from Vashon serving in wars until the Spanish-American War. And then we only have a few. But there's a large number of Civil War veterans who settle on Vashon. But that sort of first wave of American settlement that comes in the 1870s and 1880s, quite a few of them are Civil War veterans. And one of the reasons for that is because, a frontier at that time is basically a cash poor economy. It's an exchange economy. And veterans get a payment every month. And so they had cash at a time when many other people didn't. And so it was not easy for them, but a lot of veterans moved west under the Homestead Act. And that's what happened on Vashon.
You know, in earlier shows, Elsa and I have kind of reviewed old newspapers mm-hmm. from the turn of the 20th century.
Right.
And a mm-hmm. lot of them promote these social groups of veterans.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I found that interesting, you know, how cohesive that group was.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. What's fascinating is a fairly large number came here. You know, you're talking 20, 25 people, you know, out of a population of under 1,000, you know, at the time. So it's a significant number. And not only was there a GAR, a Grand Army of the Republican post, you know, H.G. Sickles post number 57, number 10, you know, but there was also Women's Auxiliary, and there was also a son of Confederate Union Veterans Organization on the island, sort of a junior GAR.
Do we have a sense of how many, if any, came from the Confederacy veterans?
One.
What?
That's a very interesting question, Chris, because what happened after the Civil War, and particularly in places like Washington and Oregon, communities really ended up being either settled by Union veterans or by Confederate veterans. I mean, there were mixed groups everywhere, but very small numbers. And because there was still a lot of animosity, particularly in the 1870s and 80s when these communities were first founded. I've only ever been able to find one Confederate veteran, and it was a fellow named Kingsbury Beach. And he seemed to have been pretty well accepted by all the Union veterans. But there are other towns in Washington State that were settled largely by Confederate veterans, particularly mining communities, and like Darrington up in the Cascades, and you know, basically Union veterans weren't very welcome there, just like Confederate veterans weren't very welcome here.
You know, that really makes sense when you think about it. If you emigrate from wherever you lived, mm-hmm. you would land where there's people of like-minded backgrounds and ideas. Yeah. Just like you have like a little Italy in New York or something like that.
Exactly. It's what historians call chain migration. It's the idea that, you know, somebody migrates and then they send back the letters to their family and their neighbors and say, oh, this is a great place, you know. And so people tend to gather around people with similar interests and similar backgrounds. And you get that on Vashon. You get the Norwegian, Swedish communities in Cove. You get the Croatian, Dalmatian communities, you know, in, at Docton. You know, it's just that sort of where the jobs are and where the skills are and then where family and friends are so that you can come and you're not starting with zero. You're starting with, you know, a group of people who can support you. So very typical of immigration.
I would really be curious to know what convinced Mr. Kingsbury to come here by himself.
it's fascinating. I've never been able to really probe that very deeply. He was quite a bit about Kingsbury because he came here. He was a logger. He had a sawmill down at Rob's Lagoon. Very successful kind of settler at the time, and seems to have been pretty well accepted. But why he chose Vashon, never been able to find that out. Probably like everybody chose Vashon, and he was just thick-skinned enough not to worry about being considered a rebel.
And that's Kingsbury Road today, correct?
I'm sorry? Yeah, Kingsbury Beach, Kingsbury Road.
Oh, interesting. So if we move up, you said we had a few in the Spanish-American War.
Right.
How many did we have in the Great War, the War to End All Wars?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've never been able to get an accurate count because they just didn't keep that data in that way. You know, there were probably somewhere, there's been a couple newspaper articles Mike Sutter and I have been able to find that have a list of young men off serving in the war. And there were probably 45, 50 that we can gather. Fair number, you know, and that's out of a population of, you know, about 2,000, 2,500 or so. Population in the 2020 census was about 20, 2900.
Yeah.
So a little bit smaller than that, probably, you know, in 1917, 18. But you know, still significant.
Do you get a sense of the war sentiment during that time? I mean, America was such an isolationist country at that time.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. You know, when you read the newspapers of the time, which is the main way you have of sort of accessing that, you know, there seems to have been, once America entered the war, then, you know, young men signed up and went off to the war. And important to remember, I mean, World War One begins in 1914, you know.
Right.
It's in 1918. We don't really get in it until late 1917.
That's after the Lusitania, right? Lit the fuse.
Yeah, right. So America's late coming into World War One, you know, and really just at the end of the major fighting. But at the same time, you know, there was quite a bit of patriotism. I mean, lots of victory gardens. That's where the victory garden concept got started.
But that's where we get the victory garden. I thought that was a World War II thing, but
it came back in World War II, but it started in World War I. Have some great Van Linde photographs of their victory garden at the Van Linde house on the way down to Glen Acres there. Again, it was that just sort of get behind the war effort.
As far as I know, on the island, we have two monuments to veterans.
Mm-hmm.
When did those go up? Were those after World War One or World War Two? Or
yeah, the memorial, there's the two I know of. There's one memorial in the Vashon Cemetery,
Obelisk,
and that was installed in the early 1920s. After a fundraising effort, and basically recognized Civil War veterans, Spanish-American War veterans, and the Great War veterans. And then now, if you go look at it now, they've added plaques for World War II, Korean War, you know, other wars, you know, Grenada, and, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's become a kind of a universal veterans memorial in the cemetery. The other is that I know of is the Vietnam Memorial in Oberpark, and it's a set of basalt plinths that recognize Vashon 12, the 12 young men from Vashon who died in the Vietnam War.
Do you know percentage-wise which war was the costliest to Vashon?
Oh, in terms of death, young men dying, I've only been able to find one Vashon young man who died in World War One, Howard Guerin, who was killed August 17th, 1918, somewhere in France is the way they describe
wow.
it.
Wow, I'm shocked. It's just one. I mean, that was such a carnage, that war.
Well, again, America entered late. You know, I mean, the bulk of the trench warfare and the sort of the massacres that were taking place, America came in very late, and so there were certainly Americans involved in some of that, but not to the extent that you get in Britain and France and Germany and, you know, the colonies, Australia, New Zealand. I mean, I've traveled quite a bit in Australia, New Zealand. You go into these small towns, you know, 300-400 people, and there's a war memorial for World War One, and there's the name of, you know, 15 or 20 young men on it. You know,
wow, that was Gallipoli was their kind of Anzac.
Gallipoli for Anzac, yeah. But also travel in Britain when you go in the small towns all through Britain. I mean, there's yeah. memorials and it's four or five guys with the same last name. You know, so it's like brothers and uncles and cousins and stuff. So, I mean, it devastated a generation of young men. World War II. You know, I mean, by the 1940s, you know, Vashon has, you know, 3,500 people or so, you know, residents. You know, 1940 census, I think it's around 3,200, 3,300, you know, it's up above 4,000 by 1950 census. So, you know, assuming the war, there's people coming in to work in the Puget Sound, but there's a roll of honor for World War II that was put together during the war and then actually in the VFW hall after the war. And there's 492 names on it.
Oh my gosh.
World War II. So, and that includes women who served in the nurse corps, in the waves, in the WACs, and so, and of course the Japanese American veterans who came in, who enlisted out of the camps, so it's a significant, 492 people out of a population of, 3,500.
Yeah.
Significant.
Well, they must have had a sense of the immediacy of this war, given that, the Japanese had, invaded Alaska, and, they were on this side of the country where World War One, that was over there.
Right. Yep.
So it must have been
scary. Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, in Vashon, it's interesting, in World War II, Vashon got organized and mobilized very early. Paul Billingsley was head of sort of organizing the civil defense of Vashon, and got organized really quite early in 1940-41. And Vashon became a model for the rest of the state. And Paul Billingsley was actually tapped by the governor to become the head of Washington State Civil Defense because of the job they'd done on Vashon. And lots of parallels with the current pandemic, how Vashon sort of stepped up and sort of provided a leadership model in how to organize a small community to respond to a pandemic. Same thing happened in World War II. So we can be proud of ourselves as Vashon Islanders.
Yeah, well, that's great to hear. As we move up, how big an impact did Korea have on us, the Korean War? I mean, it's kind of the forgotten war almost.
It is, yeah, and it's interesting. In World War II, there were 13 young men killed from Vashon out of the 492 that served. So, significant for a small community. And there were, I think, 15 Japanese Americans serving in World War II. So significant. Korea, what's been fascinating with Korea is it's been very difficult to get a list of veterans from the Korean War.
Really?
From Vashon, yeah. Mike Suddeth is now digitizing the newspaper, so we're going to be able to get in and find more details. But the interesting thing about Korean War to me, and fascinating for Vashon, is Benjamin Wilson, lieutenant. He'd actually served in World War II, had been mustered out after World War II and rejoined the military, and then served in Korea as a lieutenant. Is the only person from Vashon Island, only person born and sort of raised on Vashon Island, who has won the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Really?
And he won it during sort of thing for Vashon to have a Medal of Honor winner.
Oh my gosh, yes. Wow. Well,
But we are working on trying to sort of figure out, the list of people who enlisted and served in the Korean War.
I think what people often forget is what a vicious war. I mean, they had as many deaths as Vietnam, and it was three times less in time span.
Yeah, great. Right. No, it was, very difficult. Yeah.
So, Vashon is known as a kind of counterculture hippie kind of island. How did it take to the Vietnam War, which is controversial in itself?
Yeah, well, it's fascinating. I mean, it's important to put it in context. I mean, the 60s are really two decades in a 10-year span. And what we often think of as sort of the counterculture and the hippies and stuff. I mean, the Summer of Love in Summer of Love in San Francisco was 1968. So it was really the end of the 60s. I mean, most of the 60s with JFK and, sort of the space race and that kind of stuff. And so Vashon very early on was very supportive of the Vietnam War as a community. I mean, a few voices, sort of crying in the wilderness, if you will. But essentially Vashon was mainly agriculture, small town, rural, certainly beginning to become more suburban in the 1950s and 60s, but essentially a small agricultural community at the time, and those values. So there was a lot of value in terms of supporting the Vietnam War. And, and early on in the war, lots of efforts to send packages to troops, the boys from Vietnam serving in Vietnam and that kind of thing. So there was a lot of support. That support began to erode in the late 60s as the casualties rose. Vashon at the time in the 1960s, has a population of, roughly 6,000 or so. And we have 12 young men die in the Vietnam War. That's a high percentage for a small community. And the Vietnam War in general tended to have, smaller towns, rural towns, and urban sort of urban centers where you had large minority populations. They tended to bear the brunt of the deaths in the Vietnam War. And just because those are the people who enlisted or were drafted.
Sure. And you got to think that everybody knew who those 12 men were.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it had a huge impact on the community. And same thing in World War II. I mean, you had 13 people die, and I mean, everybody knew them. They were kids that they grew up with, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So I think what my estimation is what happens is Vietnam, when Vietnam begins in the mid 60s, 64, 65, with the buildup and sending troops and, Gulf of Tonkin resolution, Vietnam's very supportive of the war. By the early 70s, as the war is, sort of grinding down, you see much more opposition to the war. And that's also when sort of the culture itself is changing. Vietnam had a huge impact on American culture and also on Vashon. And so by the mid-1970s, you're much less support of the Vietnam War as the war is winding down. And of course, part of that is, this sort of senseless, to many people, senseless death of these young men for what?
Right. I agree. Since that time, have we've been in, Grenada and Gulf One and
Gulf Two and Afghanistan. And the longest wars, if you will. And what's interesting there is there's been a few Vashon veterans, and Mike can talk more detail about that, because that's one of the things we're working on, is trying to build detailed list of young men from Vashon and women who have served during the Gulf Wars up to the present Afghanistan War that's just concluded, quote unquote, concluded earlier this year. As far as I'm aware, we've only had one death out of those wars, and that was Lieutenant Robert Bennison, who was killed on July 18th, 2010 in Afghanistan. Young man grew up here on the island, very well known, well liked, and when he was killed, and his it was a big turnout on the island for his funeral and for his memorial service. So, but that's the only veteran that I know at this point that has been killed in those Gulf Wars, I think Mike and I and others are working to try and build a more comprehensive list of Vietnam, of Gulf War veterans from Vashon. The other thing about veterans of Vashon is there's a lot of veterans who moved to Vashon after these wars, particularly after World War I and World War II and Korean War. You get some Japanese war brides coming back to Vashon who are, become part of the Japanese American community on Vashon, but have a very different history than the Japanese Americans who were on the island and who were exiled and imprisoned and then come back. So it's wars have an impact and have a cultural impact.
Sure, it just gets to be this kind of admixture of cultures, invasion of a country, so to speak. And then,
right. Yeah, exactly. it's an interesting thing about, you know, just trying to keep track of veterans. When we did the Chris worked with Chris Gaynor on the Home of Record exhibit, you know, Vashon and the Vietnam War back in 2011. One of the things we did is set up a register and try to collect the names of all those Vietnam veterans who are on the island, because there are quite a few who have moved here after they served in Vietnam, you know, moved here either as retirees or moved here for family reasons or for business reasons, whatever. And so what happens in a community like Vashon is you have a recognized group of veterans who came out of the community and served, but then you also have these folks who are moving into the community who have also served. And I think, you know, Mike Mattingly will talk a little bit about this, I think, but the idea that, the veterans organizations are going through the same thing most other communities, social service, fraternal organizations are going through. It's just the population's aging, you know, those generations are dying out, and it's harder and harder to keep those organizations functional.
Yeah, I think about that, particularly in World War II. Like, I think this 1,000 veterans a day are dying, and all of those stories and all that knowledge and all of that experience that we could benefit from is going away. Well, Bruce, this is going to be an interesting talk. I appreciate your time to discuss a little bit of it with me.
Sure. You're welcome.
This, just so the listeners know, this is the museum talk, and it's held at 7 p.m. on November 11th. It's through Zoom, and it's a free registration. You just need to sign up at VashonHeritageMuseum.org, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bruce.
Well, that's our show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I'd like to thank Bruce Hallman for being our guest, and I hope you'll make time to see our new exhibit at the museum, Natural Wonder, an Island Shaped by Water.